My friends, have you ever been ignored? Have you ever been forgotten by other people? Have you ever been passed over as if you were invisible? If you have any of these experiences, then you know the pain that the souls in purgatory suffer each and every day. You know, as Catholics, we believe that there are three churches within the Catholic Church: the church triumphant in heaven, the church militant on earth, and the church suffering in purgatory. And we talk a lot about heaven, or at least from time to time, we think a lot about earth because it's where we live. But there's this third church that's completely forgotten that we don't talk about very much: the church in purgatory. If you've ever had this experience of being ignored and forgotten, you know their pain. Please join me in this video where we explore this and so much more as we explore the topic of purgatory. Friends, as I always like to do, please join me in a prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of Christ, Mother of the Church, Star of the Sea, you are the consolation of the souls in purgatory. Please, through your prayers, pour out on us the Holy Spirit, that we may understand the Church's teaching, and through the mystics also may come to know this beautiful aspect of our faith. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. St. Maximilian Kolbe, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, this is a channel uniquely Mary, where we cover everything Blessed Mother, from the saints, from the teaching of the Church, also from our own experiences and from any book that I can get my hand on. But this is a specific topic that I want to cover since we just passed the month of November, the month of the Holy Souls. So it may seem a little bit late, but this topic is always relevant, the topic of purgatory. Now, when I first learned about purgatory, I completely related. And the thing that really struck me the most was them being ignored, them feeling forgotten, them feeling invisible to others and passed over. This was an experience that I've had very often in my life. And so I had this special love for them, this special connection with them, as if I could understand their pain. I remember being at my friend Elizabeth's house up in the Dallas area, and she gave me this wonderful book called Get Us Out of Here. I was there for several days, and I had no idea what I was getting myself into when she gave me this book. I absolutely fell in love with the topic of purgatory, and ever since then I've read just about every book that I could possibly read, although maybe not everyone on that subject. And so in this last month, I've really been feeling a call from the Lord to share with you about the souls in purgatory, and I think they want me to tell you about it. So I decided to take about 5 or 6 different chapters from this book that we will begin exploring. The first one today is we will explore simply what purgatory is. I'll try to keep these videos to 5 or 7 minutes so that they'll be brief, but they'll give you a short introduction on what the book is talking about, and hopefully you'll go out and buy it yourself to learn and explore more. So first, the first question that she begins asking is, what is purgatory? So a little bit about the author. So the author is, his name is Nicky Eltz. So he was a reporter that heard about this woman in Austria called Maria Sima. Maria Sima was a mystic that died about probably 10 or 15 years ago. And she lived in Austria and she grew up devoutly Catholic. She wanted to become a nun, but it never really worked out. And so she became just a single person that had her daily work. But around when she was, I think, 15 to 18 years old, the first soul in purgatory began appearing to her. Initially, this happened maybe once a year, and then as the years went on, maybe twice a year, and then it became more frequent. Well, she consulted with local church authorities, and after they had extensive interviews with her, they approved it. They said that what she was doing was the work of God, and she continued throughout the years, each year, with more and more souls in purgatory happening to her. Now, by the way, if this sounds crazy, she's not the only one that have had souls in purgatory appear to her. Probably one of your favorite saints, St. Padre Pio, had the same thing, and many saints throughout the years. So she was a mystic like one of them. And this became famous throughout the world amongst different circles. And the author heard about this, decided to go interview her, and through a series of interviews, this book came about, Get Us Out of Here. Simple title that expresses the deepest desire of these souls in purgatory. So I want to kind of summarize some things from this chapter, what is purgatory, and then I want to read directly from it. So one of the things that she describes is that in purgatory, there are three levels. The lowest, which is the one nearest hell, the one in the middle, where there is they're reaching greater holiness, and then the level where they are almost finished with their purification and about to enter heaven. Maria said that the souls that typically appear to her are those that are closest to being liberated. Now, before we even continue, one of the church's teachings, a teaching that has been there since the beginning, even prior to when the Bible was placed together, the fathers of the church understood that only what is perfect may enter heaven. And even if Jesus has shed his blood for us on the cross, it does not mean that we have fully accepted that salvation or that we have, as the scriptures say, washed our robes clean with the blood of the Lamb. Often that washing can be partial. There's still stains left, but that doesn't mean we have rejected God. So we're not going to hell, but we're not perfect enough to go to heaven. Well, the church and the early church fathers, both through Jesus's teaching and through logic, realized that there must be some middle ground, some other way. So through that understanding, that type of thinking, along with different apparitions and visions that God was giving to early saints in the early church so that they could understand this other place, this teaching of purgatory began evolving as they grew to understand it more and more. And so as she's describing these three states in purgatory, she talks about how in each one there's different levels of purification. One of the things that she clarifies is purgatory is not just a state, it is actually a place. Often in theology that you hear nowadays, you hear that theologians say that it's not a place, it's just a state of being or a state of mind. Well, Maria says that it's both. It's both somewhere and it's something that we're going through. So let me read you a quote from some of the different things that she talks about. So in these chapters, we hear the questions that the author asks her. So the question is asked, what might some other differences be between the higher and the lower levels of purgatory? So she says that in the lowest level, Satan can still attack the souls, where he can no longer do so in the higher levels. It is true that we are tested while here on earth, and that testing stops with our death. However, the souls in the deepest third of purgatory must first suffer away the sins that they committed before our prayers, masses, and good deeds can be beneficial to them. One teaching of the church is that only the church militant, the church here on earth, can pray for the souls in purgatory. We have been given the great task and the great privilege of being able to pray for these souls for their debt before God to be relieved. And a part of that suffering in the deeper levels is that they continue being attacked by Satan. The many levels of purgatory are different in the same way that all our earthly illnesses are different. One can be a mere irritation of a fingernail, while another can consume the body entirely like fire. This fire exists only in the lower levels of purgatory, but not in the highest. There's different things that the souls in purgatory reveal to her. One, for instance, is asked what's their greatest suffering, and they almost always tell her our greatest suffering is our longing for God. Now, when we first hear that, we think, okay, isn't that sweet? Isn't that cute? That doesn't sound too bad. But the longing for God that they have is so intense that it causes them tremendous pain. Now, when they die, they get this glimpse of God as they're being judged. But then after the judgment, when they go to purgatory, that loss of that vision of God is of such incredible pain. Let me read another one of these questions and answers. So God puts the souls there to cleanse them of their sins, not yet atoned for and repaired. She says, no, this is usually taught incorrectly, and false teaching such as this can so easily turn people away. God does not put them there. The souls judge and then assign themselves to the appropriate level. It is they who wish to cleanse themselves before they join God. And realizing the specific truth about God's love for us is very important. So what she's basically saying is purgatory is a free choice. That when we see God's beauty, when we understand His majesty, when we see the magnificence of heaven, we don't want to go there with any imperfections. And God gives us this opportunity to purify ourselves through the different sufferings that we undergo in purgatory, sufferings that we should have gone through on earth out of love for others, out of love for God, but because either fear or laziness or pride, we refuse to do so. Purgatory offers us this, so to speak, second chance. Another question that she talks about later on in the chapter. If purgatory is many places or a large space, then are heaven and hell also places? And this is what I was talking about earlier. Yes, my spiritual director had asked me about this, and the answer was, it is wrong what many theologians teach today when they say that heaven, purgatory, and hell are merely conditions. They are all places as well. So if you're one of those theologians, you are wrong and should change your teaching, because we are physical and spiritual creatures. When we go to heaven, hell, or purgatory, we go to a spiritual and physical place. Booyah, there you go. Another question is, how broad is the span of time that souls must be there before they can enter heaven? She says, oh, that's very broad. Some for a mere half hour, and others for the rest of time, to the last day. The average, the souls say, is 40 years. 40 is a significant number for all of you that know, because the Israelites spend 40 years in the desert. That was their time of wandering before they entered the promised land of Israel. Jesus spent 40 days in the desert in imitation of his ancestors. And one final question, just even before we continue in any of these other chapters. What is the deepest purpose of all for what you experience? And she says this, God has permitted this so that through my apostolate, others would have a clear understanding that our life here is only for us to gain entry into heaven. Think about that. That's profound. Our purpose here is to be good to one another, and by doing so, join God both here and now, and then finally in eternity. With this realization, life becomes increasingly valuable to everyone, and the absurdity of what a huge number of people do with it also becomes much clearer. It shows us the enormity of God's love and the glorious beauty that life can become when we work alongside of God. So what I have been shown should and give people a clear and definite orientation through life if they wish to participate in God's heavenly will and its resulting beauty. It's interesting that her greatest observation and her greatest conclusion in having the souls in purgatory appear to her is how much more so we need to be holy, to love God, and to love other people. My friends, please embark on me in this pilgrimage, this journey, to learn about the souls in purgatory, and we will learn so much. You will see how much of benefit this is to you, how this can change your spiritual life. Again, this book is called Get Us Out of Here by Maria Sima and Nikki Eltz. I'll put a link in the description. It is a wonderful book. It's about 300 pages long, and it reads so amazing. It is such an awesome, one of my favorite books on purgatory. I hope this book has been of service to you. Please give us a like, subscribe to the channel, and put a comment down below. And please watch some of my other videos as I hope with the grace of God to lead you closer to Jesus, to the Blessed Mother, and to whatever vocation and holiness God wants of you. God bless you. Have a beautiful day.